Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Sports fans, you are listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We're coming live to you from the Veranda High Point apartment complex in beautiful South Denver. We have a special guest on the phone tonight, Mr. South Dakota boy himself, Nate to the D-O-double-G dog. Nate, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to talking a little MLB, NBA, NFL free agency.
Marcus, as always, now, normally across the desk. You're on the phone tonight.
I was going to say, how come I'm not a special guest on the phone? I mean, I'm pretty special.
You are definitely special. And you're special in all kinds of ways. Well, let's jump right into this, guys. Where do you want to get started tonight? We've got all kinds. I've been watching, I've been watching Mike and Mike since 4 o'clock this morning. We've been talking about RG3 all day long, about where he might fit in as a backup, how much money he's going to not make, and basically this Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State, looking at number two with the Cleveland Browns. Let's get it started.
Well, I mean, you got to feel bad for the kid. I mean, there's nothing that'll kill a career faster than going to the Cleveland Browns.
Exactly.
Maybe he can break the streak, but I doubt it. I think I should also mention that today, according to Facebook at least, is Twin Peaks Day. So make sure you go to your local Twin Peaks, get some food, get some drinks, you know. I think they're talking about the Laura Palmer TV show, but, you know, really, who cares about that, you know. Maybe get some wings and beer. So, but I don't know. I mean, do you really think that RG3 wants to go be the backup in Dallas and hope that he gets the starting spot in 2 years, 3 years?
Well, you know, Tony Romo is 36 years old, coming off back-to-back injuries. He's still up in the air about getting that collarbone physically or actually fixed in the offseason here. Jerry Jones and the Joneses are known to take shots on people. I mean, it's not going to be Manziel. I mean, what do you think about him sitting behind a Romo and learning how to actually play in that offense?
Yeah, guys, it's a great question. I see RG3 still, you know, he's still a young man. He has a ton of talent. You know, what has gone wrong for him the last couple of years? Is he focused on himself too much, not a team player? It's interesting. It will be interesting to see what a change of venue will do for him.
Well, they
actually
showed
the problem for
They actually showed on the TV this morning of him actually packing his locker up, which I thought was quite interesting because you don't usually get to see that.
Yeah,
there's no reason to show that. That's so stupid. That's just trying to get extra ratings for other people to get all flipping out about stuff. I just, you know, I wonder what happens because, you know, at first you thought, well, you know, he'll do better in with the Cowboys, right? Because they've got this great offensive line. But, you know, I don't think that Washington's offensive line was as bad as we thought because, you know, Kirk Cousins, the last 7 games of the year, looked like an all-star or whatever, the Pro Bowler, you know. So
I think
that maybe RG3 was who he is. He's a great scrambling triple option quarterback, kind of like Kaepernick. And I'm not sure he can survive in any other kind of system. I mean, maybe he can. You know, I mean, the guy's a smart guy, so he can definitely pick new things up. But sometimes you don't have the skill set for it. I don't know.
That's definitely a good question because he puts himself into very awkward positions when he scrambles. I mean, he's sideways, he's left, he's upside down, he's right. You name it, he puts himself in positions where he can hurt himself, namely being the last ankle injury. I mean, he was completely sideways when he tried to land.
Yeah, guys,
and there's
it's true, and it kind of reminds you of a young Michael Vick. You know, he does. He puts himself in compromising positions. You know, I think a little bit the last couple years he's learned to slide maybe a little more. But, yeah, he seems to, you know, if he doesn't have his first check down open, he's taken off for the races.
If that's sliding, he better go back to T-ball.
Well, he's got the problem with that he doesn't like to run out of bounds. And he's got that, you know, he's kind of got that killer instinct that you want to have in a running back or someone like that. But in a quarterback who runs, who's not Cam Newton and 6'5 and 280 pounds and going to bowl you over, you know, he's smaller. He's a small guy, comparatively, you know. And he needs to learn when he runs and scrambles to run out of bounds, and that's what he doesn't do. He keeps trying to keep plays alive. He tries to keep going. He tries to get a few more yards. And when you run the way that he does, which he's very graceful, he's kind of like a gazelle when he runs, right? I mean, he's just got a great stride. He looks amazing when he's running. But the problem is, when you run that way, it leaves your body parts exposed, and that's what's going to keep happening to him. He's going to keep getting those big hits on his ankles, big hits on the knees, and he's going to have a short career if you know, he two more surgeries and his speed is gone, no matter how old he is.
Yeah, and now they batted that around a lot this morning. There's two other spots that I heard that I thought were very interesting. One I'm going to discredit right off the bat, the Philadelphia Eagles. I do not think Peterson wants to bring in an injured RG3 to be behind a Sam Bradford that can't teach him anything. Now, I'm going to go one better. This is a rumor I've been hearing a lot today. What happens if RG3 winds up in Kansas City playing behind Alex Smith in a very simple offense with Jeremy Maclin as the speedster down that sideline?
If I was Andy Reid, I would not take Alex Smith out. He knows the system. He runs it very well. You know, I mean, they have their good running game. They need a secondary receiver. Adding a quarterback, I don't think makes a big difference there.
No, I'm not saying taking him out, but let RG3 get a little bit groomed behind Alex, because Alex always was a great pocket passer. He doesn't make dumb decisions like RG3 does. Think about Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Brett Favre in Green Bay for 3-4 years. What happens at age 24 if RG3 can sit there?
But it doesn't matter, because Alex Smith doesn't get hurt. So why bring in an expensive backup when you can just bring in a third-round draft pick and do the same thing? You know, I mean, he needs to go. Philadelphia would be a great place for him because Bradford is unreliable. I can't believe that the Eagles even bringing Bradford back.
Well, they're talking about swapping back for Nick Foles.
Well, that's not a solution.
I mean, they're thinking about just swapping. Is really what they're thinking.
Why would you trade for Nick Foles when you know the Rams are going to drop him?
They're not really going to trade. They're just going to give him Bradford and say we want Foles back.
But I'm saying is they can sign Foles off free agency. They're going to release Foles, so they can just pick him up. But I still don't think that any of that solves the problem in Philadelphia, which is they don't have enough talent for a marginal quarterback. They need
they really don't. And they just freed up $3.5 million in cap space with D'Amico Ryan getting a cut. They released him today.
I know you're a big fan of the Eagles, and I just saw that D'Amico got cut. What do you think about that? Is that going to be a big hindrance on the defense?
No, they need to free up that cap space. That cap space with Murray's contract just got just ridiculously wrecked. So they need to free up some cap space here and there. And, you know, this isn't going to be a one-year fix for Peterson. This is going to be a 3-4 year fix. And they're going to do it through youth in the draft.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do it for.
The smart thing to do, the smart thing to do when you have a team that's in trouble and that has not been done. It's kind of with what Hurricane McDaniels did when he came to Denver, right? He just destroyed the team by pissing off Cutler and then pissing off Marshall and then pissing off everybody and sending everybody away and getting nothing for him. And, you know, what they need to do is they need to trade down. Don't waste first-round picks at this point. Trade away players to get second- and third-round picks. Trade down your first-round pick until you've got yourself – you could probably trade down two or three times, pick up five or six extra draft picks for the next year or two or even three. You know, load up on second- and third-round picks because – we really don't. I mean, how often do you see a first-round pick being that much better than the second and the third-round pick? It's just as much a crapshoot.
It is a crapshoot.
Yeah, and with this, there's a lot of depth in this year's draft, guys, so I think that's a great point. I mean, Philly is going to be on the 4- or 5-year plan. It's going to be a classic rebuild there.
Especially when you see the Redskins are looking like they could be a good team in the next couple of years.
I see no reason why they can't be. The Eagles are looking right now. They're looking at two players in the draft, and this is the one that really intrigues me because we talked about, Mark and I talked about him a lot during the season, and that's the Memphis QB, Paxton Lynch, 6'7", 245 pounds. Just a huge arm. He can run the ball. He can do a lot. Sitting there at number 13, my favorite number, what happens if they actually get him on that roster? And you look at a Sam Bradford and say, you know what, let's suffer through a little Sam and bring in that stud quarterback.
Boy, I hope you have a backup plan for getting an offensive line then, because he's going to get murdered.
Well, yeah, but he can take a beating, and that's where, you know, if Evan Mathis wants to come back to the Eagles from the Broncos, we'd more than be happy to have him.
Do you take Paxton? Do you take Paxton before Hogan?
That's a really good question. It's going to be depending
that's
on where they drop.
I would ask. Yeah, I guess it does. I mean, if you can keep trading down and get Paxton later, you know, what if
that's
you can
the thing.
Trade
I
down
think,
into the late
20s? I honestly
20s.
Think they can get. I think they can get him in the second round. Actually, I think he's going to drop.
Yeah, I think
the
he's
second.
More of a second round. I agree with that. And Mark, being the Broncos fan that you are, if the Broncos can't sign Danny Trevathan, do you think D'Amico Ryans would be a good fit there? He comes out of that 3-4 defense from the Texans.
That's interesting.
You know, we don't know if the Broncos are going to be able to bring back DeMarcus Ware, because it sounds like they're kind of demanding that he take a pretty severe pay cut because they've got so many free agents coming up, and they do. They got a lot of free agents, so. I don't know how they go about doing that. I don't know that DeMarcus is going to take a cheap enough contract. I'm honestly much more worried about the Broncos not being able to bring back Malik Jackson and him going to the Raiders or going to the Texans. And the Broncos are going to need to use their draft to basically shore up the defensive line, because if they lose both Malik and they lose DeMarco Ware, that Broncos defense is a lot different all of a sudden. You know,
well, if we're shifting gears here, I heard that they made an offer to Malik today, and it was 5 years at like 10 plus million, like 50 to 55 million is what I heard. And that
is it less than 11 million?
Yes, it's under 11 million from my understanding. But, you know, at least they've made an offer to him. It sounds to me like he's definitely a priority. But, again, John Elway is not going to overpay.
No, he's not.
You know, everything that I've heard is that he wants to get at least, like, $13 million or so is kind of what he's wanting.
Yeah, which I get.
Right. So, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you got to make a decision then, right? You got to decide if, as Malik, as a player, Malik's got to decide, do I want a chance at another Super Bowl? Or do I want to just make a lot of money? And that's a hard thing to decide, right? I mean, you're talking about generational money.
Absolutely.
$6 million over 3 years, that's a lot of money.
It's just like Julius Thomas. I mean, he could have taken a pay cut or made a little less money here and stayed in Denver and bet on a good team.
Yep.
But instead, he took the money. I'm not criticizing the guy. Because, you know, I'd probably take the money, too. But it's hard to say.
You get to live in Florida. You get to live in Florida where there's no income tax.
It's
warm all the time. It's got a great nightlife. Probably had a lot of fun down there. And, you know, let's be honest, the Jaguars, while, you know, I think if you look at it from a certain perspective, you say they're the fifth overall pick. They didn't have a very good year. Their defense couldn't do anything. But the Jaguars are on the way up. I mean, they're on a long-term
absolutely.
Plan, but that offense,
and they have the most
that offense is going to be good.
Yeah, that offense is going to be nasty in a couple of years.
I think they're going to save that cap space for, I think, another year or even 2 years so that they can re-sign, you know, Robinson and Hearns and Bortles and Yeldon and the offensive line, and they're going to keep that whole unit together, and I think they're going to try and build the defense through the draft, and they're going to start with a quarterback probably in the first round. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I will say that I've been watching some of the combine today, and the combine is really boring. I don't know why that gets compressed. It's
the
really
Olympics.
Boring.
And they made it more days
for about 20 minutes. Yeah, I mean, I understand why it's important, but it's funny that they're trying to make it like the draft, right? Like it's an exciting thing to watch, and it's not exciting. The draft
no,
is
it
exciting,
isn't.
Either, to be honest. You know, you just sit there waiting 12 minutes for a pick to come up, you know. But anyway, we do want to mention, because we're in Colorado, we do want to mention that the Buffs are playing Arizona right now.
Yes, they are.
Actually ahead by a couple points. It's early in the game. But
it's at home.
You know what? This is a big resume builder for the Buffs. If they can get a win here, that really helps the program. So, you know, we just wanted to wish a good luck to the Buffs. And still going on basketball, why in the world is the Washington Bulls game on TV but not the Warriors and the Heat? I don't get that.
That's because the Warriors are playing Saturday night against the OKC Thunder.
Why wouldn't you want to put them on all the time? They have a chance of beating the Bulls' all time record. I don't understand why they're not all over the TV.
It's called revenue sharing. You got to keep them on every now and then. Yeah, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break real fast here. We're going to be right back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark live on Blog Talk Radio on this Wednesday evening. We'll be right back.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We are back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark, coming to you live from the Veranda High Point Apartment Complex in beautiful South Denver. Guys, we got on a good tangent. Let's try to reel it back into the NFL real quick. I want to mention Marcus Colston real fast. He's been with the Saints for, 12 years now. He's the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, whole career.
The whole career, yards, touchdowns, and receptions. What do you think about them getting where are the Saints going right now with a aging Drew Brees who is at 36 or 37? We all know that he's up there in age. We've talked about this before. Where are they looking ahead, and are they going to try to move up in the draft somewhere to get one of these really good wide receivers?
Saints are a train wreck. I don't know what they're doing. They're spending money on players
that they're a train wreck.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, but seriously though, they're paying all that money to Breeze. They had to get rid of all their good talent because they can't afford them. I don't know where all the money is. It can't all be just Breeze. But they also signed, you know, Jarius Byrd to that huge contract and stuff.
Yep.
And it just doesn't make any sense what they were doing. You know, it's like you got to build either to win later, or you think you actually have the team to win now, and you just need a couple of pieces. The Saints can't be delusional enough to think that when they let Jimmy Graham go, that they were going to be competitive. I mean, they're just not going to be. And
well, that's one of the things, and I think that they really thought they were.
But how? Their defense was terrible. They didn't have any receivers left. I mean,
All they had was Ingram, really. And Colston.
Yeah. Colston was old. I mean, Cooks is okay, but Cooks is not – he's not the superstar that they were hoping he was going to be. We know that. He's not a number
one.
No,
he never was.
So – you know, who knows what they're going to do. They're one of those teams, again, the same way I feel about a lot of teams, that are, if you're not that close and you're getting old, you need to trade away your talent and say, sorry, fans, it's going to be a lean 2 years, but we're going to try to have a really good team for you in 3 or 4 years. You know?
And there's another spot you could bring RG3's name up with an aging Drew Brees.
There you go.
You could say RG3 in there. And I'm going to bring the other place that they're talking about. Tony Romo's 36 years old, and he's still deciding if he's going to have shoulder surgery. There is a lot of talk this morning very early about RG3 maybe going to the Cowboys. I mean, what do you think Tony Romo really has in the tank anymore?
Well, I would
say, that remains, you know, seen.
Well,
I think
Marcus
it remains
Cousins
to be
gonna,
seen.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that RG3, you know, when he was in Washington, right, and don't be fooled, the Native Americans are going to re-sign Kirk Cousins, no matter how much hoopla there is over the amount, they're going to re-sign him because, you know, because what's his name, Gruden threw his lot in with him, so they're going to get him. He decided at the start of the season not to even sniff RG3, basically. I mean, basically just kind of threw him under the bus completely. What happened there? Something happened, and it seems like he may have lost the confidence of his teammates, and that's a bigger problem because the Cowboys are not a team that can have a weak personality.
I can tell you what happened. He lost Shanahan didn't want to draft him. It came straight from Daniel Snyder, the owner of the team, saying, we're taking him. And Daniel Snyder, Shanny, wanted to draft him in the third round, which is where they got him, I believe. And that's really what happened. Shanahan liked Cousins better as a quarterback. And RG3,
really?
He went 9-6 to start, had all that money and all that, you know, taking up all that cap space. And Shanahan never wanted him as a quarterback. That's not the pro. Think about all the quarterbacks Shanahan had. He had John Elway, who could run a little bit, but not as athletic as RG3 ever was. And
no,
Elway
was
a very smart decision maker.
Yeah, Cousins, I believe actually he was an early fourth rounder, and I heard the same story. I heard the same story, JP, that Shanahan was big on him, and you know, RG3 came straight from Snyder. So,
yes.
I mean, I think we can sit here and talk about RG3 all day. I honestly think at some point the guy, somebody's going to have to bring him in and give him a shot. And it's up to him, you know. Like, can he turn around? Absolutely. He's got the talent.
Let's be honest.
He's an intelligent kid.
Why is he not in Cleveland? That's exactly where he should go.
That's a train wreck just waiting to happen again.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you draft your future quarterback. You bring him in for two seasons to kind of, you know, just give your team something to look at. And, you know, let's be honest, the Browns, they didn't have terrible receivers. They really don't. Barnes is a good tight end. They're going to get Josh Gordon back if they don't trade him. They've got Benjamin. I mean, Johnny Manziel was able to make him look like a decent offense whenever he scrambled out of the pocket, and
he could.
Terrible. So I think RG3
now, what happens if they do take Corey Wentz out of North Dakota State at 2? Because if you're taking somebody at 2, he better be ready to play right away.
Absolutely.
See, that's not smart. I don't like that. I don't like that philosophy. I don't think being a top 5 pick means, as a quarterback, you're supposed to start playing right away and take all your lumps. I think it's fine to have a year learning the system, watching the scout team, you know, following the protocols, learning how to do tape and everything. I think that's great because then you walk in and you're prepared on year 2 or even year 3. You know, I mean, not that nobody can do it, but have we ever seen a quarterback really be good in the first year anyway?
And no, and that's
I agree with both your perspectives. I think it depends on the situation. You know, if a guy is drafted and there is a veteran presence on the team, then that's, you know, that's great. He can sit behind him and learn the offense. But, I mean, when you bring in a guy like Jameis Winston and there is nobody else, he has to take his lumps, you know.
Absolutely. You don't have anybody, you have to do that.
Yeah, so I think it just depends on the situation.
And I think two perfect examples we're all thinking of right now is Tom Brady and the New England Patriots and Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
Yeah.
They both sat
behind. To be fair, Aaron Rodgers was highly touted. He just got drafted late. So
I think there's a lot of good fits out there for RG3. I think the Texans are another one.
They are flying under the radar right now, actually, on this subject, because they are in a perfect position for another quarterback.
I mean, look, that's where he played college in Texas, right at Baylor. You know, they've got an established receiving core, an excellent defense. You know, I think that would be a great place for him to, you know, to go. But there's a lot of places.
That would be a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that we know that the 49ers are going to keep Kaepernick, they've already said they're going to pay him his full guaranteed salary for 2016. So does that mean the Niners are no longer going to take Goff?
Well, Chip Kelly wants to keep him so he can trade him for a bag of ding-dongs.
Exactly. That's really what it comes down to, because, I mean, Goff is sitting right there. And, I mean, you're either looking at Laquon Treadwell and Ole Miss, the wide receiver, or Goff. Sitting right there, it's a perfect fit for California if you take Goff, coming out of the University of Cal.
I think so, too.
And,
I think the Niners are still kicking themselves that they didn't pass on or they didn't take Aaron Rodgers when they had the chance. I mean, they could have. And, you know, I mean, no offense to Alex Smith. He's done okay. He's not been terrible. But he's not a franchise guy.
Yeah, who knows if Aaron Rodgers would have become who he is today, though, had he gone that route.
Very true.
He probably would have been forced into a different offense. You know, he would have been playing right away within the first year or so. You know, I think a lot can be said for him sitting and learning the system and obviously having Brett Favre there to mentor him.
Oh, yeah. I just think it's just always fun to point out yet another bad decision made by the 49ers GM. So I just like doing that.
of course, yeah.
We want to make sure we do cover this. So, you know, Conor McGregor, kind of a rising superstar in the UFC, right? And he had a big bout coming up that got canceled because his opponent got injured.
Broke his foot.
So instead of just, like, not having a fight, McGregor was, you know, he's anxious to go ahead and fight. So he's going to move up two weight classes, and he's going to fight Nate Diaz. Is that a good idea for somebody who's so hot to go up two weight classes like that?
I don't think it matters with him. He can go up two weight classes and not have a problem with that.
I mean,
now,
Floyd,
the question
is not that huge, but
especially in UFC, it's not that many pounds. It's only like 6 pounds. So he's going to go up like 12. So is Holly Holm going to headline this with Miesha Tate too on March 5th? Because I heard that they're both going to headline this.
I think it's like a double main event or something again, right? So I don't know. I mean, the last time that McGregor fought, it was a double main event where he just I don't even remember the name of his opponent, but he clocked it. Boy, that was a fun fight to watch. That was a fun overall card to watch because the first of the big three fights was like just a brutal back-and-forth haymaker fest, you know, with a lot of bleeding and stuff. And then there was the secondary fight was basically the challenger just beat the tar out of the champion, and then McGregor, you know, of course, did a one-punch win.
Against the guy that hasn't lost.
That was crazy. That was just like one-shot game over. That was fun. But, you know, that Diaz has so far accused McGregor of taking steroids.
He has. Now, I don't know
of
any drug tests that have come back. What's that?
I don't either. But, yeah, it just seems like blind speculation, and especially when you consider the fact that Diaz's team, you know, his trainer and stuff, they've had two or three guys popped for taking steroids. So
yeah, they have.
It almost makes you think of, like, the Republican thing where they, like, blame the other side for doing what they're doing, you know, so I wonder if Diaz is on steroids.
Are we
going to
go to politics
and McGregor
now, or which way is this conversation going to go?
Hey,
we can do all of them.
You guys have to fill me in a little bit. I'm not real big on the UFC, but do they have testing in place?
Oh, sure, they have serious testing.
Okay.
The side boss who's supposed to fight has gotten busted for steroids like 4 times, and she's almost banned.
So how does it work? Is each athlete tested like once a year, or is it random?
No, it's a lot like boxing.
That's one
of the similarities of the sport. It's a lot like boxing where it's random. They'll get tested before the fight, so on and so forth. They'll get randomly tested leading up into the fight, just to make sure they're not on any substances. So,
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know much about it, but I'm guessing Nate Diaz is just trying to drive some negative PR for McGregor. That would be my guess.
And
but
I just
you
think
never
that's
know.
A good idea because McGregor is the kind of guy who feeds off of being dissed or
oh, yeah.
not being given his respect. You know, that just fires him up and that just makes him train harder. And we already know he trains really hard. And he's been accusing Diaz of not training very hard and that he's not going to be ready for the fight. And he's predicted a first-round knockout. Now, I think he always predicts a first-round knockout, so that's not
I believe
new,
he does.
But, yeah, but, I mean, it is, it's interesting, right? I mean, it's going to be a good fight because I think you got two people who generally don't like each other, and that usually makes for a better fight than when they see each other as sportsmen, you know?
Absolutely. So, guys, we're going to take a quick step aside. Mark, when you're up in the morning and you want to get a little extra flow going, what do you do for supplements and just get on your feet?
Well, you know, if you want to try and up your game a little bit, get some more stamina, get some good meal replacement shakes, and, you know, put yourself on a great exercise plan, we like to go with the www.ekfit.net. You can also find them on Facebook, but, you know, they'll go ahead and put together a great program for you. They'll get you the meal supplements you need, and you can try and make sure that you're in shape enough to be able to hit those moguls when you hit up to the mountain.
And that is exactly right. We also want to thank Kyle over at SageMediaLLC.com for all your business needs, all your business planning, your company branding. That's Kyle over at SageMediaLLC.com at SageMediaLLC.com. And in fact, they even designed our own sports offensive logo. So go check it out. Go hit Kyle up and he'll help you out with all your business needs. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to The Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back to the Sports Offensive with JPM Mark. We are here live on Blog Talk Radio coming to you from the beautiful Veranda High Point Apartment Complex in South Denver. Gentlemen, let's jump into a little MLB baseball right now. We have a Colorado Rocky in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's not going to be good. So Reyes, something, I don't know all the details, but I know it's domestic violence, and it was in some kind of a hotel. And, like, the hotel staff called the cops because his either his girlfriend or his wife, I'm not sure which, but I guess
I'm not
she
sure
had
either.
Scratches all over her, and she had injuries to her leg. So, I don't. This is
was
not going to be good
is
for the Rockies.
Is there video of this at all? Because I know he goes to his trial is actually being heard on opening day for the Rockies.
Yeah, April 4th.
I don't know if he's got... I don't know if there's a videotape or not. I think he's going to get the hammer brought to him, though, because, you know, they kind of started that rule off, you know, to try and address the fact after what happened with Ray Rice. They wanted to be out ahead of it.
And
I don't know. I mean, why? Right. And, I mean, do they make an example of Reyes? I mean, they have to wait until he's convicted, right? I mean, they don't have any video.
Yeah, it's just
I don't know.
Hotel
I think what they do... I think the new domestic abuse policy by MLB doesn't necessarily dictate a verdict. I think that's possible that there may be some form of punishment coming down in the next week or so.
That's what are you looking at here? I mean, they're going to have to make it as bad as steroids, right? They're going to have to make it a 50-game suspension, right?
I would assume it's got to be along those lines. I don't see how it's not.
I mean, because otherwise, so, that's going to give them the same problem that the NFL ran into. If you're saying, well, apparently the MLB thinks it's a bigger deal to take steroids than to beat a woman. And MLB
yep.
does not want that kind of negative press. They don't have the kind of power to stick around. I mean, the NFL, let's be honest, they could probably shoot some people in that league and people would still watch football. It's just the most popular sport. But
yeah,
baseball,
a lot of pressure on Rob Manfred, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, and especially after the guy made the idiot call of not reinstating Pete Rose. So, you know, he's already off to a bad start. So I don't know what they're going to do about that.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing.
I think enough of the old guard generation is dead now that you're past the people who are going to go, well, he gambled, you know, like, who cares? I couldn't care less if you gambled both ways on that team. It'd make no difference to me.
Yeah, for me, I think a lot of it was the fact that he just wouldn't come clean. And I think that's why Manfred, you know, made the decision that he did. If Pete Rose would have just come out and say, look, I gambled on baseball, I still gamble, you know, I have a problem, I think that people would have been more receptive to that. But then, you know, immediately after he denies him, it comes out that he's still gambling. You know, like he just seems to leak out the truth.
Pete Rose did admit, you know, what was it, 2 years ago that he gambled on baseball. I mean, he did that 60-minute interview and he admitted it. So I agree with you that we live in a country where people are very forgiving if you're contrite, right? If you say,
yes,
I screwed up, I'm sorry,
absolutely,
you know, you're right, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done it, I'm sorry. If you just say that, you know, that's all you, I mean, it's just that short, too, that people will eventually forgive you. And they'll say, well, okay, we place a very high value of entertainment in this country. So if you're excellent at what you do and it's entertaining, we'll give you a second shot if you just admit you were wrong. Right.
And he had every chance to do that if he would have came out right away and just said that.
Oh, yeah. He had a lot of chances.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest
thing. Would have done a lot.
He just kept denying it left and right, just like Lance Armstrong denied steroid use and, you know, Tour de France, and he threw everyone
right
under the bus. Now Pete didn't do that, but he still did deny the fact that he was gambling on baseball. But the one big thing is they've never proven that he's bet against any of his teams when he's player coach. They always said that he was always betting on his team to win every night.
Right, because he's so competitive. But, you know, I think it raises a whole other issue, and that is that Shoeless Joe Jackson has been barred from baseball in the Hall of Fame for 100 years now or whatever. I mean,
it's
not that long. Maybe it's 80
it's
years.
It's probably
a
little over.
Time.
It's actually probably, I think it's 1912, so a little over 100.
I think it was 1919.
Something like
that.
That. Yeah, it's
scandal.
A long time ago.
So,
yeah.
So then what happened? I mean, do you all of a sudden have to say that he's eligible for the Hall of Fame?
Well, this is a whole other conversation, guys, but it's that character clause. Do we have to have a character clause? And to me, there's so many guys in the Hall of Fame that weren't the greatest person. You know, look at Ty Cobb. The guy was a jerk, you know.
Yep.
But I don't know why people, you know, the media feels like they can pick and choose who's a bad guy, who's not, and who gets to go in and who doesn't. Like, to me, and I feel the same way, about steroids. Like, just tell the story. Hey, this is Pete Rose. He gambled on baseball, but he was the leading hit, you know, guy. He got the most hits ever. You know, he was Charlie Hustle. He did, you know, played his mind out. He was such a great ball player, but this is what he did. You know, I think if you tell the story, get
the
rid
media
of that character.
It's just the way that the media works in this country, right? The media used to report facts and then let you make a decision. Now, media makes a decision and then reports spin to back up their their decision.
And they usually spin out of control.
It's terrible. Yeah. And it's, but I mean, we don't get the facts anymore. We'll never get all the info if you take it from news or media. You have to search out the information, and even then, it's going to be hard to get swept under the rug. Or, I mean, look at the stuff that happened in Tennessee, right? I mean, look how long it was before we actually are starting to get the story now. I mean, it's just, you know, a 19-year career.
Well, hold on a second. You know, that story was out in 1996. It was back out in 2003. Archie Manning swept it under the table, paid her off in 96, came back out.
And 2003.
And 2003, because Peyton put it in his book about certain things that happened when he had a confidentiality agreement with the woman in question. And I don't know why Peyton even ever decided to put that in the book. But now, if you look back, they're getting Peyton out of the Title IX lawsuit because they're saying that there's just no relevance to have him in it. It's so long ago.
That came out today. It gives it more press. If you put a famous player in there, especially when he just won the Super Bowl, right? Well,
and that was
along for the ride.
That was the exact reasoning behind putting him in there. It was all a press.
There are two other players that have chance of getting the same kind of problem that Jose Reyes is in, because Yasiel Puig is being investigated for domestic violence, and so is Aroldis Chapman. So,
yep.
I mean, imagine if the Yankees, you know, the Yankees signed Aroldis. It's supposed to be a big deal for him. Boy, imagine if he suddenly was out for the entire season or 50 games.
Yeah, the Yankees. That's going to be quite a bullpen if he does play. They're really taking on the Kansas City. They're taking on the Kansas City Royal model to a T.
Well, it's also taking on their own model. If you think back to the years when they had John Wetler,
sure,
and Mariano
sure.
Rivera, and Norm Charlton. And then eventually, of course, Mariano Rivera took over the closer role from, well, I think it was Wetland that was doing it before. But anyway, you know, it does work. We know it works. And so now the Yankees would have they'd have Warren, Chaplin, and Robertson, right? So that's a good bullpen.
It's Dellin Betances.
Oh,
and then, what's the kid's name? I can't remember. Miller, that's it. Miller.
Yeah. Okay. So
yep.
Miller and Betances. Okay.
Miller
well,
and Betances.
Yeah. So let's
see
what happens. I mean,
I like our next topic we're going to go into here with Batista. He took the hometown discount up there, and now he's pretty much at 36 years old, standing still, saying, "You're paying me this," and I love the stance he's taking on it. Because that's the way baseball contracts work. You know, they're completely opposite
of
the NBA. And
$150 million
is a little.
I mean, look at
the numbers.
But he needs to get paid for all his years up there, because he really did take that hometown discount for a huge ride to get some people up there to play.
But yeah, he did.
Care about that, because they've got big issues coming up. They've got Tulo and Russell Martin making $20 million
over the next
2 years.
Each. Yep.
Well, no,
John
each
Donaldson
year,
is
making
million.
Like 19. And then Donaldson's at $28 million over 2 years, and then Encarnacion's going to be a free agent.
Yep.
They never made an offer to David Price. I mean, I think they threw all of their eggs in the basket last year.
They may have
to cut bait with Bautista.
And very well they could. He just wants to get paid at this point. At 36, he just wants to get paid. I don't blame him.
I think he's still got a couple of years left in the tank, guys. I mean, he's a 35 home run guy.
I think he is a quintessential Giants player right there. They sign Jose Bautista, bring him over for 2 years, $20 million or $18 million a year, whatever it is. You know, they got that new revamped pitching staff. Gives them a chance to continue their even season run, you know?
Sure.
No, that's a really good point on that one. You know, that Giants pitching staff is going to be ridiculous with the way they revamped it and just heading in. We're in spring training now. Pitchers and catchers are down there. And heading into the season, we're going to be interesting to see what happens off the bat and see if they can stay healthy.
Well, it's crazy to think that, you know, the Giants, boy, it has to pan out, because They took a risk on two guys who did not play well last year. Cueto, outside of his stunning, you know, playoff performance, was not good. And now that may have been that he wasn't really ready for going to the American League. But Samardzija, boy, he was not impressive. They got him for a bargain for a reason. And, you know, the talent's there. But, whew, if he, you know, you throw out that kind of money for those two players, which is essentially the same amount that Arizona threw out for Greinke alone. So it was a better deal overall. But, boy, if those two guys are not great, well, that's going to hamper that franchise for a good 4 or 5 years.
It is. Guys, we're going to take one more step aside here to finish off our show. We're going to be in the home stretch, the last 15 minutes of our hour-long special on a Wednesday night. You're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on Blog Talk Radio.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit FireAdapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
I said, don't call it a comeback because Cliff Lee is not coming back anytime soon.
I thought he was retired.
He was. Last time he pitched was 2014. He was actually making a little bit of a push in spring training, trying to get loosened up, get the arm flowing, and he just there's Bill Walton on the TV. 33-27 Colorado over Arizona. Look at that. Phil's got his tie-dye on there.
Yeah, they're looking good, and I'm very impressed that CU has got the stadium packed. It's not
they
like
do.
That
I'm
often
really surprised about
basketball.
Cliff,
because
Cliff
of Arizona,
come back.
Well,
that's one thing we already know.
Just to shift gears a little bit, again, guys, listening to that Grateful Dead leading us into the show made me think of what Gronkowski was doing on his boat over the weekend on the SS.
We saw plenty of video of that. If there's
anything
Gronkowski knows how to do, is have fun.
Yeah, I'll bet that was
a
good time.
I don't know.
The Gronk crew.
Tell me what happened. I don't know.
Gronkowski rented out a ship and just threw a huge party. What, did he sail the Caribbean?
Yeah, no, I don't know if it was the Caribbean, but
I'm not sure. I just saw all the videos and pictures of it, and Gronk knows how to have fun.
I think it was actually a Norwegian ship line, but I do believe
it was
the Caribbean. And I believe it was the Caribbean, but he had like 600 of his closest friends on a boat that can fit like, I think it was 2,000 or 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure The job I wouldn't want is being the guy that has to clean out that hot tub at the end of the night.
Oh, God, no. Imagine having 600 of your closest friends just on a boat with you.
I don't think I even know 600 people.
Yeah, it'd be a good time.
So let's do a little NBA action. We are going to actually very much up the salary cap this summer. It's going to go up this summer and next summer. We're talking about having 1 to 2 team leagues that are just all-star, superstar teams. They're talking about KD, Kevin Durant, maybe going to Golden State. I mean, is that a fit for him? And can Golden State basically get the ball around enough to keep everybody happy?
Yeah, you know my position on that. I don't think there's anywhere near enough touches to bring him to Golden State. That they got too good of a dynamic going. Why do they
need that's the thing I was looking at, and they're saying Golden State's the most, unless he goes to San Antonio. But those are the two teams where he could go to and make a difference. Because Westbrook, he's a free agent after not this year, but next year. What happens if Westbrook leaves KC and Durant decides to stay? Boy, he's got a problem.
The
Durant
thing is for San Diego, San Antonio. That's a good question, right? Because they've got a good power forward in LaMarcus Aldridge. They've got a really good small forward in Kawhi Leonard. Where does Durant go? Does he play shooting guard and they just kind of let Ginobili go?
That's a really good question. Ginobili is getting up there in age.
I think
he is.
I think Ginobili is
done
after this year.
What about Parker? You think Parker comes back again?
Yeah, I think he's got a couple years left in the tank.
Tim Duncan?
There's a fouling youth somewhere in San Antonio that they found.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'll tell you what, though, if I'm the Houston Rockets, I'd be going after KD.
Well, and he
that
was
kind of
he
wants to play with.
You know, I want to get rid of
Howard.
I want to get rid of Howard, and they want to rebuild, is what they want to do. Even though
Harden
just dropped 42. Did he drop 42 last night?
Yeah, Harden and KD. That would be. We know they got chemistry. They played together before.
I think that would be interesting. 2-3 years.
That would be an interesting fit.
They have to get a big man who can play with that system because Dwight Howard. It just seems like his teams are never really good. Like I don't remember. I remember one team where it was him on the Magic, and they had like 4 or 5 sharp-shooting three-point guys. And so it was feed it down to Dwight Howard, and then if he's double-teamed or triple-teamed, then kick it back out the perimeter, pass it around the perimeter, then shoot. And that worked. Other than that one setup, I've never seen any of his teams be any good.
Yeah, they got him out of there pretty fast. They got him to Houston because they realized that that was the year they actually went to the finals, if I remember right, when they had Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. Now, Durant's been around for 9 years. He's made the playoffs for the last 5 years, but he's only made the finals once. So that's got to be weighing on his head right now. I want to get, you know, if you're a player, no matter how much money you're making, you want to get to the finals.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're at top talent level, at some point, you know you're making, you know, you've made your money. So it comes down to what kind of a legacy do I have? And nobody wants that legacy of I never got to compete, you know?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
why
and
you
only being in
Sanders
one of those finals, I mean, I think that has to bug Durant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so how weird do you think it is about Kyrie Irving getting bitten by bedbugs?
Oh, I think somebody planted that on him. Hilton, bedbugs. I mean, Kyrie Irving, Cleveland.
But I mean, was that the Hilton? I mean, that's not good.
Somebody planted that on him. I hate saying that, but think about it. What better way to get bedbugs in somebody's bed? Let's put LaFraud's bed. Get LaFraud's bed full of bedbugs.
You guys remember Ocean's 13?
I've never
seen
that one.
Ocean's 13, where the guy comes to review the hotel and They put him
in
there.
Oh, they put all that stuff in his bed, and he breaks down in that horrible
rash.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's great, yeah. I'm surprised there's not more fire alarms going off outside of hotels when these guys are traveling, you know, how many games a year.
Yeah.
Because they rent out the entire floors, you know. You know, it's kind of funny, you mentioned a movie. You know what? This is kind of crazy. This is the first year that I can remember that I have actually seen every single movie that's up for Best Picture. So I'm kind of proud of myself. I've never done that before.
And which one do you think is going to win?
Who do I think is going to win? I think The Revenant's going to win because they really like that director. Or The Room, just called Room. But Mad Max is kind of a dark horse candidate, kind of like Marissa Tomei was back when she won the Best Supporting Actress. As far as my opinion, I would give it to Spotlight, the one about the priest pedophile scandal that they had in Boston. And it's got Mark Ruffalo.
That was a very telling
Ruffalo
movie.
And, Mark Ruffalo, and then they have what's his name, Keaton, and just a lot of, you know, Liev Schreiber and a lot of really good actors and stuff. It's a really good movie. And I do think that DiCaprio is going to get that Best Actor Oscar finally. And the funny thing is, I don't think it's even close to his best movie that he's going to get it for. But, you know.
Oh, I'd have to agree with you.
That's a lifetime achievement. What's that?
Star Wars isn't on that list?
Star Wars? They would never put Star Wars on any of those lists. They hate those kind of movies.
I'm
trying to figure out how Mad Max got on there. I mean, Mad Max is a great, you know, starts off with action and never stops until it's over. But there's not really that much of a story, you know, or anything like that. Like, it wasn't complex, but I think maybe it's won because it was just so interesting. I don't know. The best movie on there is probably Brooklyn, but no one's seen that because Americans can't take those kinds of movies. So,
right.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens on Sunday. You know, I think kind of the last topic that we had was the Knicks.
The
Knicks have been a train wreck for years, but boy,
Carmelo's pretty much caused that train wreck with how much they
had to train wreck.
He sure did. Maybe he needs to bring KD over there.
Well, I mean, that's another place they're talking about. I mean, Carmelo does have the no trade calls unless he asks to be traded to another team. The Knicks cannot trade him on his own.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question comes about for Carmelo is he willing to play second fiddle? Because he's no longer that number one guy. If he's willing to accept the fact, hey, you know, we'll bring in a guy like KD, let Porzingis develop. I mean, that could be a pretty good team in a couple of years.
Porzingis is really surprising a lot of people because they wrote him off right after the draft.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Dirk Nowitzki. He's a... he's a great player.
I don't think Carmelo can be a team player. I just don't think he can. And I think that it hurts every team he's on. And now that he's not nearly as accurate a scorer or dynamic of a drive to the hoop guy that he used to be, I just don't see how they win until he's gone. I don't think that he cares enough. I think that he went to New York because his wife, Lala, that's where she wanted to go. And That's why he was willing to say straight out to the Knicks, I'm coming to you. You have to work out a deal. Because that's where she wanted to go for her career. And he was like, okay, that's where we're going to go. And, you know, good for him for supporting his wife. But I think that it kind of showed that his determination was not to win. You know, I think that he knew that he had his best chance in Denver and they didn't get it done. And they've never really had a decent team in New York since he went there.
No, they gave up a lot to get him to go there, and it's just one of those things where you're hoping that it could be the one-man stallion there, and it just never was. So,
unfortunately. I mean, 14 now.
I don't want to give too much bad juju to Carmelo. You know, who knows? Maybe he wanted to go there with the intention of trying to turn around one of the historic NBA franchises, you know. Maybe he was like, hey, I can go to this city and bring them back to prominence. You know,
that's
I don't know.
But doesn't he give you the impression of that kind of player that
he
wants to be the stud and wants to win, but he doesn't seem like he has the mentality to be like, I'll do anything it takes to win. I don't get that from him.
Yeah, I mean, just the eye test tells you he's not necessarily a team player. So I get that analysis with him. But, yeah, it just makes you think a little bit. Maybe he was trying to, you know, make an impression and turn a, you know, a storied franchise around to where they once were.
Well, he is from New York, right? I mean, he played for
Syracuse. He's from Brooklyn.
So, I mean,
So,
I mean, I'm sure he'd like to do that. But, oh, man, did you guys see it? Just an update. The Warriors came back on the Heat. They are up 4 with 24 seconds left.
Oh, wow.
Of course, the TV is still showing the Bulls game for some reason.
of course it is.
Wow, what a – Well, I mean, really, the Bulls are not impressive anymore. I didn't realize their record's so bad. They're like 29-26.
It's atrocious. It's atrocious. They brought
Rose back.
Guys, we are out of time on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We are going to be on at a special time on Saturday morning at 8:30. I do have to run out right after our show at about 9:45 to do the Air Force Dartmouth game over at Barton Stadium on the campus of DU. I want to thank everybody for listening. Yes, go Air Force. The DU game will be right after that against Sacred Heart. Please go like us on our Facebook page, The Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Go to Twitter at The Sport Offensive. Go to our website, www.thesportsoffensive.com. You can get our Facebook links. You can get our Twitter links. Go to you can listen to the rebroadcast of the show, the archives of the show, on demand, on iTunes. Search on demand and you'll pull up all of our shows right there, or go to blogtalkradio.com to our homepage and you can catch all the shows. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on this special Wednesday night for a quick hour show. We got to do this more often. It was fun.
For having me, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to sign off from there. You've been listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. So long, everybody.